Good morning to you.
Good morning.
It is good to see you. Welcome to our Clarity Conference for 2018. And I trust you've come expectant. I trust you've come because you want to see more clearly, with clarity, what God has for you. With clarity to see more clearly who Jesus is. With clarity to understand and know what His assignment is for your life. If that's why you're here today, please stay seated. If not, or have a cup of tea. You know, when I was praying about our focus for our conference, and the word very clearly came to me that God wanted to bring us to a place and a point of clarity, because when we see things clearly, we are able to execute things effectively. And as believers, we know that very familiar passage of scripture, which talks about the eyes of the unbelievers have been blinded by the God of this age. Sometimes I find more believers who are blind than unbelievers. And this morning I was cutting my nails, and I couldn't see a thing I was doing because I didn't have my glasses on. And so you could say I was cutting my nails in faith. I've got no bleeding fingers, and they're pretty well cut now that I have my glasses on. But I thought about that process of me cutting my nails and not clearly seeing what I was doing. I was feeling my way around my nails. And sometimes as believers, there is a difference between walking in faith and walking with past experience. As I cut my nails, I suddenly realized I wasn't doing them in faith, but I was doing it because I'd done it so many times before, that the experience and the sensation of feeling the cutter against my finger guided me through a process which I was not able to clearly see because I did not have my glasses on. And sometimes in life, most believers live their lives based on experience of the past and not the faith of today that takes you to tomorrow. Which is why we circle and circle and circle and circle. So the question for us is, do we move from that place of experience, which is something we can enjoy and look back on? But if we're going to be people of faith, we've got to go beyond experience. We've got to go to experiencing the leading and the guiding of God in every decision that we make. And it's when I put my glasses on that I could clearly see what I should have been doing. And for most believers, what does the glasses signify for me in this illustration? The glasses signifies God's word. God's word helps me to clearly see what God wants me to do, to clearly understand what I need to be doing with my life. I can live off my past experience and my experiences of God's word, and I'll still achieve something. But I don't go into a realm or dimension of faith because I'm not operating in, I'm operating in experience. And so many of us as believers, we get by and make it to the grave because we are living off experience. But I want us here at Life to step up and ramp up our expectation and our vision and our passion for the Lord. Say, God, thank you for the experiences that I've had that made me who I am today. But my experiences of yesterday are not necessary the experiences that I need to have in the future. And those that will carry me into the future. So this morning I want to talk to you about a faith that sees. Everybody say, faith that sees. Very often we talk about having faith in God. And it's kind of, you know, I just trust God. And you know, I just trust God blindly. I just believe. We say all those wonderful Christian-y statements that we make, and we don't know a clue of what we're saying. But we've heard somebody else say it. Our parents said it. Our pastor said it. And so now we say it. But there is no understanding behind each statement that we make. But you know, here at Life, I want us to go beyond just saying what somebody else said or coining a phrase that sounds good, that rolls off our tongues. But really, whatever we say, we understand, and with understanding, we speak. And out of that speak, we produce, and we speak in faith, and we call those things that are not as though they are. Vision without action, write this down, is just a dream. Action without vision is just passing the time. But when you bring vision and action together, you change the world. I believe all of you have faith. Do you have faith? It is by faith you have received your salvation. It is by faith I trust that you live each day. But do you have a faith that sees? Because faith makes things clear. Whenever there is confusion in your life, whenever there is confusion with regard to a decision, whenever there is confusion or ambiguity about something, you are not operating in faith. You are operating either from experience and fear will fuel that experience. But if you're operating in faith, I believe that we can have clarity of thought and sight and vision, because we are not going on what somebody else said. We are banking our life on what God has said. We have our glasses of faith on, which is the Word of God, and through that we see everything that we are looking at. Amen? Vain imagination is failing to have or unlikely to have the intended or desired result. It is devoid of substance or meaning. And I don't want us here in life to have vain imagination. When we talk about dreaming big, when we teach our youngsters in our dream centers to dream big, we're not teaching them about having vain imagination, some vague concept of bada soch. But it is about discovering what God has placed within you and seeing and understanding the big dream that God has for you. And when you see that, it is not vain imagination. But it is what God has already divinely deposited within you. This week at our dream center, we had our second dream day for our children from 2.5 years up to 6. And we get picture updates as the day goes through each class and each year. And we were blown away, as these 2.5 year, 3-year-old, 4-year-old kids came dressed up in who they were dreaming to be. We've got hundreds of pictures to show you. And one young 2.5-year-old girl came. And she said, I want to be a gynec. 2.5-year-old.
Then I should hear the word.
And so the teacher, obviously surprised, that a 2.5-year-old said, I want to be a gynec. She came all dressed up with a stethoscope and everything. The teacher said, so what does a gynec do? See, this was not vain imagination. She says they cut the stomach and take out the baby. 2.5-year-old child. That is not vain imagination. That is a child in whom God has divinely deposited desire to achieve something in life, to be perhaps a gynec, who knows? Another young kid, we met him previously, and we went to his table, and when Nehemiah and I were sitting with him, he was drawing planets, 4-year-old. I said, "What do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up?" He says, "I want to be an astronaut." I said, "Wow, he wants to be an astronaut." This is the second time we're hosting the Dream Day where we take it further. And this time they come dressed up and in who they want to be.
And bring props.
And bring props and whatever to really create that substance. And his mother told him, no, you can't be an astronaut. You have to go as an engineer or doctor. So he was most upset. And so our teachers who understand what we're trying to do spoke to the mother and said, "You know what? He needs to come as an astronaut. If that is what he's dreaming of, let him come dressed as an astronaut." And he came with his planets decorated on a disc. I think it was the lid of some dekshi. You know, that was his universe. And he came dressed up as an astronaut. See, that is not vain imagination. That is divine deposit within every human being that God has placed, that desire to look outside of their circumstance and their life and to see what God has for them. And as believers, how much more when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us? Come on. Who can spur us and guide us and lead us into all that He wants us to be. I'll tell you one more story. There was a guy who we met last time as well. He wanted to be a fisherman. Now that is not something aspirational, is it? Who wants to catch fish? Bajiwala? Doesn't sound good. There was a Bajiwali as well. But he came and he wanted to come as a fisherman, and his mother said to him, "No son, fisherman is useless job. You need to come as something else." And again the teachers were interacting, and the teacher said to him, "Mom, if that's what he's dreaming of, let him come as a fisherman. Who knows, he may not be a fisherman, but he might have a fisher's business." And the mom said, "Ah, acha acha, theek hai." And so he came with his little bottle with fish in it and a magnetic fishing rod. And we've got pictures of this guy dressed up as a fisherman, fishing. These are 4-year-old children. That takes faith. It is not vain imagination. Amen. I would love to come back to them 25 years later and see where these children are at, and to think that we had a part to play out of God's divine assignment over our lives and our ministry and life around there here to help nurture children that would probably go nowhere to actually achieve something great in life. Amen. Come on, what about us as people and children of God who have all of heaven at our beck and call? What kind of a person has faith that sees? In one word, is somebody that has vision. The word faith, translated from the Greek word in ancient Greek, means, it's the word is the pistis, which means to have a conviction, an assurance of something. To be convinced that this is what is going to happen, or this is what I can see, this is what it's going to be. Second Corinthians chapter 2 verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The divine deposit in your life is of God. God has put in this earthen vessel the excellency of His power that is at work within you. When we look back in the Old Testament, we see Abraham. Before he became Abraham, he was Abram. And there was a transformation that took place in his life when he heard the word of God and obeyed the word of God and responded to the word of God. That is the cycle that I call of faith. where you hear God, you receive His word, you act upon His word, the cycle of faith. For most of us, we hear God, we perhaps just about receive it, but we never act upon it. And therefore, we never see the outworking of the vision that God has given us. Five years ago, God gave us the vision to start life here in Andheri. We had no money. We knew very few people in the city of Mumbai. But we knew God had spoken to us and called us to do it. It is when we began to act upon what we saw, believed, and received that God began to make provision. So ask yourself the question, why do I not have provision for my vision? The gap between that is what you have not done yet. You see, we are all waiting for provision to do. But God's economy does not work on supply and demand. God's economy works on faith and trust. And it's how the Japanese build their cars. It's called just in time. God is very economical with His resources, but exceedingly generous when you need them. So He never gives you something you don't need. But He will give you an abundance of it if you need it. You understand? The economy of God is upside down. And so the Japanese, to keep the costs down, to be able to produce cars that are affordable but yet good, they don't have storage spaces all over their plants and everywhere around. They call in the products from wherever they are just as they are needed. So just as they need the steering wheel. The company that produces the steering wheel could be somewhere else in the city. But just as they need to fit it onto the car, that steering wheel is brought into the assembly line and it is put on. So there is no storage cost, no management of that thing. That is outsourced to somebody else. And that is exactly how God works with us. And so unless they start building the car, they have no need of the... They might have the drawings, they might have the vision, they might have the building, but unless they start saying wheel, well, I don't know, whatever it takes to build a car, chassis, I guess, start with that, and you add on the thousands of other elements that come in just in time. And just in time as they come in, that car is produced and it becomes a productive instrument, a tool that serves the purposes of mankind. Amen? So I want to ask yourself the question, between vision and provision, what do I need to do? The famous one is, I'm waiting on God. Oh, I'd love to play football with people who are waiting on God. You know? Yeah, just sit behind them. And give them a good instep kick into the future. God waits for nobody. Waiting on God is not an excuse to do nothing. Waiting on God is an excuse to be prepared and ready, in a sense of readiness and expectation and conviction that God is going to come through. And therefore, I am ready. Abraham was a man of vision. He saw what God wanted him to do. God exposed nature and helped Abraham connect with nature to understand his vision, to understand what God wanted to do with him. He said, look at the stars in the sky. That's how many your people are going to be. Look at this, the sand on the seashore. That's how vast your nation is going to be. But Abraham said, but me, I can't have children. I understand that. But you know what? I am going to do something in and through you. I will bless you. I will make your name great. and I will make you a blessing. The dependency for Abraham's greatness was not upon himself, but it rested with God. Your greatness and your ability to achieve great things for God does not depend on you, but it does depend on you understanding who God is and how He's going to work in and through you. His greatness through you and in you, the excellence of His power in this earthen vessel is what makes it so amazing. And that God can do the unimaginable in and through people like you and me. Come on, at Life on Andheri and at Life at Powai and all that we're doing, this is going to be an unimaginable year for you personally, for your personal circumstances, for whatever you are believing or not believing yet, and you will begin to believe for after this weekend, what God has for you. Unimaginable things, journeys and places that He will take you that you never thought you would ever make it to. But God is going to lead and guide you by His Spirit, but you are going to have to step into the realm of the Spirit. There are some things that we can learn, and I'm going to teach you quickly from Abraham's relationship with God and his journey of faith. The first thing we see is that Abraham heard God's word. Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham." Vain imagination is when God hasn't spoken. But faith is when you know God, when you know God has spoken. I remember when we were married, or to be married, 21, 22, just about nearing that. And we said, "Oh, God is going to take us to another country." We had no tickets, we had no money, we had no visa, we had nothing. Which is why Naomi's book is called All You Need Is Nothing. Because every time in life, whenever we went to the next level, we always went with nothing. We came to India with nothing. No promise of work, no promise of anything other than God said to go. Which is why when we started our journey at 21, 22, it was literally with nothing, but God spoke to us. And He said, "I will take you to a land and I will show you and I will and I will and I will." And we said, "God, if you are going to, well, then that settles it, right? So what do we need to do?" So we packed our bags. Naomi had our bags, whatever we had from our wedding gifts that we could put into two bags that would go on an airplane, were packed and ready. No tickets yet, no visa yet, no invitation. But we knew God was asking us to go somewhere. The leaders had approved it. Everything was in sync. The bags were packed before we had a ticket, before we had money. And then somebody came to us and said, "Here's $500. I believe God wants me to give that to you." Then somebody helped buy our ticket. And then our visas, everything came together. Between vision and provision, there must be action. Most of us say, when God provides, it means now I can act. And God's saying, "Excuse me, I operate on a just-in-time." See the Japanese? I taught them that. That's, if you can look at how Japanese make cars, that's how faith operates. They trust the whole system. Can you imagine that mechanic saying, "Man," in Japanese, translated, "I don't think that wheel is going to turn up in time." No, he trusts the whole system. There is a whole system that is working to make sure that steering wheel turns up on time. And he knows that when he's got that screwdriver in his hand to screw that steering wheel on, someone's going to turn up and say, "Here's the steering wheel." He's not saying, "When the steering wheel arrives now, then I lift up my screwdriver." He'll get sacked, especially in Japan. May work here, but not in Japan. But he's there with his steering wheel. Where's that expectancy? Where's that steering wheel? 12:29 is going to arrive. 12:29, click, zoop. Steering wheel in place. Next. Believers, I'm waiting on God. I am seeking the face of the Lord. Keep your eyes open, because when they're closed, you can't see anything. What's worse is when the vision of our imagination is blind. Helen Keller said, there's nothing worse than being blind is living a life without vision. She was a blind woman who could not see, but achieved so many great things because she used her imagination, the sight of her imagination, to believe and to see what God had for her. So Abraham heard God's word. Abraham was confident in God's word. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's an assurance, a conviction. Faith, write this down, carries no risk. Many people teach that you need to take risks for God. If I'm taking a risk for God, I'm gambling. That's what you do when you gamble. Bitcoins right now is a big gamble. You buy bitcoins and you might make it, you might not make it before the market falls. That's the big buzz thing now. But it's a risk. I was talking to someone, they said, well, you know, you got to take money that you really don't need, so if you do lose it, it's okay, but if you do put it in and it does make the mark, you can make a lot of money. So it's a risk. Faith is not a risk. Faith is faith. When God says it, that settles it. So when God has said something for you, about you, for your assignment or who you are, that settles it. There is no risk attached to that transaction. Amen. So Abraham heard God's word. Abraham believed God's word. Abraham acted on God's word. He left his father and mother's home. And he went to a land that he had not seen yet, but that God would show him. And that process of going is what develops the trust. That momentum is what develops the trust. And so he moved forward and acts, and in that he trusts God. And in him trusting God is where he pleases God. Amen. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him. And what does God do? So when people come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know what I should be doing. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will, definitive, must, he can't not do it. He will direct your But it's a progressive, active transaction. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek after him. You see, experience is not what God is looking for, which is why sometimes you can meet new believers who are all on fire for God and they're doing great things. And you think, Lord, what about me? 20 years in the faith. 20 years of sermons every Sunday. Multiply that by 52, by 12, by 20. That's a lot of sermons. But my faith just doesn't seem to match the faith of this young whipsnapper guy who got saved 2 weeks ago. How come everything's falling into place? Well, it is impossible to please God without faith. We try and rely on pleasing God with experience. Lord, you know me now. So many years I have tithed faithfully. I have given faithfully. I have served faithfully. I have smiled faithfully at the pastor, even when I didn't want to. Everybody, I've done everything so faithfully, Lord. Now my experience, you must reward me for that. God says, God bless you for experience. That builds character. But let me tell you, it's faith that attracts me. Let me see you exercise some faith out of all that experience. And without faith, anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and he rewards doesn't give, He rewards. It is a reward. Those who sincerely seek. Again, it's a progressive, active, transactional relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here at Life, as we step forward, as we continue this year, we're gonna keep you on your toes, your spiritual toes, your expectation of God, of what He can do. And when you tire, someone's gonna come along and say, come on, don't give up, don't give in. God's going to come through. With, oh man, I don't know. Someone's going to come alongside you. The Holy Spirit within you is going to encourage you to keep going and pressing on. But God, can any good come through me? You don't know who I am, says God. Come on. Come on. You're never too young. You're never too inexperienced. You're never too experienced. You're never too logical, illogical, too old for God to do something unimaginable through you. Oh, I'm 55, so I'm reached retirement age. Or 60, whatever it is. It's never too old for God to do something. Abraham was 80. Moses was even older. And so sometimes when I look at my life and think, God, is there anything left in me? I think, yeah, there's 30 years more. Who knows what you can do in through me in the next 30. But how much am I prepared to come to Him in faith? To believe that He can continue to use me in the frailty of my life and my energy and whatever else I have. God can do exceedingly abundantly, more than I could ever ask or imagine. Now your faith will always be tested, because it is the testing of your faith that produces something amazing in our lives. So what makes your faith blind? Let me just give you these things. Write these three things down. Fear. Fear blinds you. Fear is false evidence appearing real. The second thing that goes along with fear is false belief. When what you believe is not right, what you feel is also not right, and how you act is also not right. And we're going to teach you in the months of February and March, when we deal with dealing with our emotions, how we can deal with false beliefs. I can speak to any of you and in a few moments understand what your false beliefs are by just simply talking to you. Because you know how you can tell? Because what you say is not what you do. But I know what your true beliefs are, because I don't look at what you say, I watch what you do. Because what you do is what you believe. Not what I say is what I believe. My confession expresses itself in conviction that is worked out in execution. Most of us stop at confession and conviction, but no execution. That's false belief. True belief is in what I believe, is what I'm convinced of, and based on that, I act upon it. Amen? The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance that is greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall surrounding them. They can jump 10 and leap 30. But all you need is a 3-foot enclosure to make them believe that they cannot be who God designed them to be. For them to not act like God designed them to act. For them to behave like God designed them to behave. And these poor animals work on instinct, not the will and the power of choice that we have. But even their instinct can be hemmed in. And so in a zoo, you want to keep an impala within an enclosure, just build a 3-foot wall, not a 20-foot wall, a 3-foot wall, and he'll believe, oh, I can't go anywhere. This is my life. And you know what? That's what most believers are like. This is my life, Lord. I can see a 3-foot wall, and that's all it is. And God's saying, come on, I can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever. No, don't ask me to imagine. You see that 3-foot wall? That's all I can imagine is 3 feet. Anything beyond that is of the devil. You see that wall that says, no can go? I believe that. You see that wall that says, I can't do it? I believe that. You see that wall that says, God let you down last year? Definitely believe that. Oh yeah, he let me down last year big time. I don't think he'll come through for me. I can't sing that song, Good Good Father, because last year he wasn't a good, good father. We are full of unbelief and fear that keeps us in and has built an invisible wall in our lives. But we have been designed by God, to leap high, to do unimaginable things in and through lives. Amen. How many of you believe that you don't have an imagination? Or that your imagination is not that great? How many of you believe that? Any of you believe that? Let me put it to you this way. How many of you can imagine fearful things? So there's no problem with your imagination. It's just what you imagine. You see, our imagination works fine. Even though it's been tainted by sin, it works fine. It's perfect. It's just that it keeps thinking fearful thoughts, false belief thoughts. And therefore, when faith is trying to come out and arise, it's being shut down by these thoughts. And when you're trying to think big, everything's saying, no. You're trying to fight it. No. But you have got to rise up. And you've got to move out. Declutter. The word says, stay captive every thought that does what? That comes against the will of God. Every thought. It's not about capturing demons. Catch the demon. It's your thought life. If you submit that and surrender that to the Spirit of God, God, I'm really fearful about this, but faith is the substance of things. I'm going to believe you. That 3-foot wall is insignificant. It can be 20 and you'll still clear it. Because faith in you is much greater than the fear that is trying to keep you down. Amen. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word that is powerful. I thank you that you are calling us in this new year to see with clarity and understand your assignment upon our life, to see with clarity your purpose and your will for us. But above all else, with clarity to see you and to know you like we have never known you before. Holy Spirit, I pray as we journey through this morning that you would unlock and break through all the things that do not belong to or from the Spirit of God. And that we would replace them with the faith and the spirit of impossibility in our lives for this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.